This morning, let's think about sensible portions. No, I'm not going to advocate veganism or to say that vegans need to start eating meat. I'm not going to talk about the next new diet or fad. And no, I'm not going to talk about the amount of food given in the restaurants. Our restaurant portions are so large, are so ridiculously large, that people from other countries have tried them and laughed about them on the popular YouTube channel on the internet. I do want to focus on restaurants and their proportions. Think about the last time you went out to eat or the last couple. Were you able to finish everything that was on your plate? Did you have to use a doggy bag? Or did you order a portion knowing that it would be so large that you and your friend or you and your relative decided to split it instead? On the one hand, perhaps they were just wanting to make sure that you got your money's worth. On the other hand, is it really necessary to have salad and bread and two sides with a steak that you just ordered? Apologies if you're starting to get hungry. But Jesus brought it up in our sermon. He did it first. Or he did it in our text. He mentions a good portion, which appropriately references an amount of food. As I was telling the children a few minutes ago, Martha was busy preparing the food for him and his disciples while they were there. While Mary seemingly ignores the food preparation, yet is still being fed. Let's turn then to our gospel text to see what food Mary is receiving that perhaps Martha is unknowingly ignoring. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Like the disciples that Jesus had sent out earlier in Luke's gospel, he himself relied on the hospitality of others while he traveled. You could also think about the Old Testament text from Genesis, where the Lord once again receives the hospitality, that time of Abraham, who offers him food and rest and the washing of his feet. So when Martha learned that Jesus was coming, she made certain that he and his disciples had somewhere to stay. This would have been quite the undertaking. Consider holiday meals that you and your family might have. Which one is the largest gathering? Would it be Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas? How many come expecting a meal? Are there 12? Though the number Martha has served is not specified, whether it is those 72 from before, it was at least the 12 plus Jesus. So thinking a little longer on the idea, how many of your family assist with your holiday meal? No one other than Martha and Mary is mentioned in this account, and Mary is listed as one who could have helped with the serving, but didn't. Perhaps the disciples traveling with Jesus, though, included other women that might have helped Martha, but again, the text doesn't tell us that. Mary was content to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. Can you imagine cooking for such a large crowd? Even if it was just the 12 and Jesus, that would still be quite a few mouths to feed. What is more, can you imagine cooking for them all by yourself? Now, if you've ever been in such a situation, perhaps you work at a restaurant or you do have a large family gathering, you know kind of what Martha was going through. Even further, if you were doing that work and your coworker or someone in your family who was supposed to help out wasn't doing so, you, like Martha, probably would have been a little frustrated with them. Why weren't they helping? Here you are doing the work of preparing the food, and rightly so, and they're not helping. Instead, they're off doing something else. But listen closely to Jesus' reply. He doesn't say that Martha was doing something wrong. He said that what she was doing was of lesser importance than what Mary was doing. Martha went up to Jesus and said, "Look, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." How often do you find yourself anxious or troubled about many things? It may be that the things that which you are worried about are appropriate, like cooking for a large gathering, doing your occupation, fulfilling your vocational duties, or important things such as those. Some stress on such things is normal, according to psychology. In fact, it would be a problem if you didn't have at least a little bit of stress doing those things. For example, if your children needed feeding and you had no concern about it whatsoever, your children would not get fed, and that would not be good. Or if you were preparing a speech and you put it off to the very end and didn't care about it, and you didn't stress about it, you might be unprepared for when that speech comes up. This is not to say that all stress or too much stress is a good thing. If you are stressed because you are caught up in a particular sin, you need to get out of it. If you stress over wanting more than you need, that might also not be so good. And if you stress out so much that it affects your health, at least for a prolonged amount of time, you may not be allowing the Lord to carry your burdens for you. But that is not the case for Martha, or any Marthas among you this morning. She had a good and proper stressor. She was doing all the work and her sister was not doing anything to help. Some of you may get stressed out doing your job or jobs as well. That is good and proper. And it is also good and proper that you should be able to expect your coworker or your relatives to assist you in doing those jobs, depending on what you're doing. While it is good and right to earn a living and to support your family, though, was there ever a Sunday morning that you were at work and your coworker was not there, that they were at church, or perhaps a Saturday night? Do any of your church workers or coworkers go to church here or in Vandalia or St. Peter or St. Paul? If so, did you maybe desire on that day that instead of being at church, that they were there assisting you? If so, then you may be Martha in that sense as well. You may be troubled and anxious about many things, but you may be missing the one thing that is necessary. Jesus concludes his reply to Martha, "Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." While it is good to do work, then, it is also good, and in fact more necessary, to come to hear God's word, be it on a Sunday morning or on a Saturday night. After all, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. All the restaurants get it wrong then. It doesn't matter if they give you a proportion that is too large or too small, if it is healthy or unhealthy, none of them get it right. The only sensible portion is what we receive here on a Sunday morning, the words from the Lord. While some things may be more important than others, the good portion will always be listening at the feet of Jesus. Nowhere else can you hear the good news about Christ Jesus' death and resurrection for you in its full truth and purity. Only in the proper teaching of the word do you hear the law, how you have fallen short of God's grace, no matter how good you have been doing. The law which tells you that you should have been coming to regularly hear the word and receiving his gifts. The law which tells you to eat well, practicing stewardship over the body that he has given you. But not just the law, but also the good news, the gospel. The very same Jesus who was there staying with Martha and Mary, the one who defended Mary, would go on living a perfect life, preaching and teaching law and gospel. And then he would go to the cross of Calvary. He would go there taking all the sins of the world, including yours. And he would pay for them there. He would die to pay for them, and he would rise again. Yet in all of this, Jesus did not take away the law, but instead the punishment that you and I rightly deserve. Even today, coming to hear God's word is still the good portion. The law tells us this is good, so the law itself is also good. The problem with the punishment was that you and I rightly deserved it for not fulfilling God's law. But now that the punishment has been paid, the law teaches us to do good, teaching us to do good still remains. So do what is good the rest of this week, and then come and be fed once again with the Lord's word and with the sacraments from the Lord's table, that you might receive all his good earned for you by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.